Welcome to 5.0, Fivefold and Beyond with Matt
and Amy.
In the 5.0 podcast, we're going to peel back the layers of the Ephesians 4 model, revealing a thriving church, ministry, or organization. This will help leaders to identify, work together, and implement or raise up the believers who want to move in their calling.
We also offer seminars, conferences, and strategic advising to pastors and leaders. We'll sit down with you and help you to learn how to have a fivefold influenced church or organization. Also, how to identify and integrate people with fivefold giftings into your teams and into your organization. So connect with us at ihimtv.com. That's ihimtv.com.
So get ready to engage, as these podcasts will open an understanding, remove confusion of the fivefold, and open your eyes and heart to what you and those around you carry. All right, we welcome you today to this podcast. We're so glad that you joined us, and we would ask you to share it on your social media platforms if you would, please. That is so greatly appreciated, and we'd like to give a call. I want to share the four top cities or towns that are listening, areas that are listening to 5.0, Fivefold, and Beyond. And number one place is Richmond, Virginia.
Woohoo, go Virginia.
Or Ashburn, just outside, that whole region right in there. They're holding on to it. Wow, surprising. Madawaska, Maine. Caribou, Maine is second and third.
Oh, well, they're all listening because they know us and love us. Thanks, guys.
Woo, go for it, guys. And Frankfurt am Main, Hesse, Germany.
Wow.
Yeah. We got some German listeners out there, and they're doing that.
Love to go there sometime.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. Top five countries right now for 5.0 is the United States, Canada, Germany, Japan, United Kingdom.
That's awesome. Thanks for listening.
Five. Wow, guys, that's awesome. We thank you for that. Keep that up. And we'll keep delivering the content and the message for you. So today we're going to, on this podcast right now, we're going to talk about the anointing, and we're going to call this,
Do I Smell Good?
Oh, boy.
I know. That's the question that we all kind of ask ourselves when we go into public places or talking to people. It's like, do I smell good? And we do this little, you know, discreet sniffing of the armpits or smelling of our breath to make sure we smell good. Sometimes we can't tell because we get nose blind to our own smell.
True.
And we need other people to, let us know when we might be starting to stink. So that's in the natural. But do you know that you have a spiritual fragrance, an anointing that comes off of your life, and we want to make sure that that smells good.
Right. And so in this podcast, we want to open that up and look at it. That we're going to give you some definitions here in a few minutes so you know where we're coming from. And for us that are ministering in touching people's lives in whatever capacity that you're doing that, it is vitally important to have a fresh anointing. So if you're not, if someone's listening to this and don't know totally what we're talking about, this episode is for you. So we're going to open that up. And I know we got some verses and some word from scripture for you. And so I'm going to pass it back to Amy. Go for it, Amy.
Yeah, I'm going to start with reading a short passage out of 2 Corinthians chapter 2. I'm going to start about halfway through verse 14. It says, now God uses us to spread the knowledge of Christ everywhere like a sweet perfume. Our lives are like a Christ-like fragrance rising up to God. But this fragrance is perceived differently by those who are being saved and by those who are perishing. To those who are perishing, we're a dreadful smell of death and doom. But to those who are being saved, we are a life-giving perfume.
True. So those that are open in the world, they see it as hope, and they are attracted by that anointing. And have you ever been into a place and people are kind of attracted to what's going on, and they don't even know about God or don't know these things, but they know there's something different? That's the anointing.
Yeah.
You can smell that anointing.
And sometimes in the world, not everybody's going to like the way you smell. But we got to make sure that it's because it's the God fragrance that's being released that they're offended by, not something that's in us.
Right.
Right. We're going to talk about that a little bit later. But first, let's define, what are we talking about today when we're talking about anointing?
I'm going to break it up in three parts, make it nice and simple. First part is, for definition, for this podcast, The Burden Removing and Yoke Breaking Power of God.
Woohoo! I like that. We know that the Bible says it's by the anointing that he breaks the yoke. Mm-hmm. So that's where we're getting that from.
Mm-hmm. Second, it empowers us to function supernaturally.
Mm-hmm.
The anointing does. Takes us above and beyond our own skills and talents. Third thing, symbolizes God's favor on your call. So that's the what we're going to talk about. We're talking about anointing. We're referring to these things here.
Yeah, we know that there's broader definitions of anointing in different places, but that's what we're looking at today and what we're talking
about.
Boil
it down nice and simple.
Let's look at a couple of verses, too, that kind of expand on that definition that we're looking at today. Matt, you've got 1 John 2:20.
Yeah, it says, but you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you all know. And that word anointing there, when you break it down to its meaning, actually means particular task, an assignment. So it's saying you have at a particular task, an assignment from the Holy One, and you know it. So when you hear something from somebody, say a prophet or someone prophetically or someone speaking, say you have a call from God, you might have heard that for the first time in your life, but it bore witness with you something deep inside and go, yeah, I don't know what that means, but yeah. So we all have the tasks, being in the body of Christ. We have tasks and assignments and mandates from heaven and from the Lord. And we know what that is. We don't know how to carry it out necessarily or how to get there. Maybe depends where we're at in life and in our growth. And that's the importance of mentors in our life and accountabilities and all that kind of stuff. So,
and Jesus even, he represented this in Luke. We read where Jesus said, I am anointed to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, set free the prisoners.
Yeah.
You know that passage of scripture. And so these tasks were the assignments that were given to him because of his call. And the anointing empowered him for those tasks. One more verse. I'll read 2 Corinthians 1:21. It said, it's God who enables us along with you to stand firm for Christ. He has commissioned or he has anointed us.
Yeah. And that anointing is a verb. Anointed means it's a verb. So the other one was a noun. So this is a verb. So it's an active and masculine sense and of wordage. And so it means actually appoint one for position. And it's like akin to the Old Testament where they anointed with olive oil, the priest or the prophet or a king. So it's that fivefoldish feel to it. And so the apostle's writing here and saying, look, we've been appointed to minister to you and you are our reward and all this kind of stuff. So he's talking like that, referring to his mantle and the calling. And that we're touching on more so probably today with your anointing, because you're going to operate out of that. You're going to operate out of what you're called to or what if your mantle. And especially if you're a fivefold leader, you're going to be operating. You need the anointing. And the anointing comes from the Holy Spirit.
Definitely.
Whew.
So now that we've kind of defined what that is, back to the question, do I smell good? How do we keep this smelling good? And hey, actually, you know what? I've got a joke for you. Do you know what God's favorite smell is? Barbecue. Yes, barbecue. Come on. Leviticus 1:9 tells us that God loves the smell of burnt offerings and sacrifices. They're a sweet savor unto the Lord.
Oh, boy. There you go, man. That's why we like to barbecue. You might not like to cook in the kitchen, but when it comes to putting meat on the barbecue, there you go.
Really? I thought it was the fire.
Oh, fire.
I thought it was the fire, not the
fire,
smell that drew you in.
Meat. It's all fun. Anyway.
Okay, so three things we're gonna talk about here now.
Yeah,
that help us keep smelling good.
Important. This is an important call out. This is important to get. Number one is we don't want any flies in our ointment.
Ecclesiastes 10:1 tells us what happens when you get a fly in the ointment.
It stinks. Woo. And yeah. So
what are flies?
So flies.
How does this apply?
We're not talking about the little thing just jumped across the floor, you know, or the wall flew over there. You can't get with a swatter, right?
Oh, they're so annoying. These flies are just so filthy. First fly that I would say.
It's not a coincidence that that's one of the plagues that was in Egypt when Israel was held captive. That's a whole other sermon for another
That's
day.
A whole other
All right.
sermon.
I think,
okay, first fly. I'm going first. Number one.
There
first
you go,
fly.
Stephen. I have to let her go first.
Pride or ego. that is a stinky fly in the ointment. When you have a call of God on your life, I know, like, God equips you. You are amazing. I get it. But sometimes our pride gets in there, our head swells, and we think we're a little more amazing than we actually are. And it's easy to get prideful. You know, I'm an apostle. I'm a prophet. You know, I am the evangelist to this nation. I'm the pastor of this house. That's right. And we can get very prideful, arrogant, egotistical. And that is a fly that will cause your anointing to stink.
Yep. As we're just opening up some of these things, it's easy as a leader when you're a big fish in a small pond and you think you're okay, but you get around others. And that's why some ministries will stay away from other ministries, because they get shown up, whatever that means, you know, and that's one insecurity. Ooh, is yeah. A fly in the ointment. It will hamper the way that we minister and we flow every single time.
Most definitely. And it will get in there and it will taint.
Mm-hmm.
Flies definitely taint the anointing that's pouring out through your call.
The fly's got to get out as fast as they can out of our life. Another one is unforgiveness and
bitterness. And bitterness. I want to add in there too, offense. And I know that they're different things, but anything, like if you're harboring unforgiveness or
it leads
to
that, right?
Which, yeah, if you pick up an offense against someone, you're not forgiving them. Mm-hmm. So they do go hand in hand. And then bitterness starts to set in there. Mm-hmm. Any of those will taint your anointing for sure. And you will have many opportunities to become offended, to harbor unforgiveness. Unforgiveness to people, because not everyone's going to like the way you do things or like how you minister. Not everyone's going to like you, and people will be jealous of you, and people will do things to you and say things about you. If you are in a position of leadership, I guarantee you that's going to happen.
They want what you have.
They do. And you're going to have that opportunity to be offended.
Mm-hmm.
But we get to choose whether we're going to shoo that fly away or we're going to let him get his little sticky feet in our anointing.
No way. Not happening.
No flies.
Second thing that we should probably be talking about is keep it fresh.
Have you ever opened a bottle of oil, olive oil or another kind of oil that's been sitting around in your cupboard for a while? It stinks. It gets rancid. Oil, the thing about it is it needs to stay fresh. Even the priests in the Old Testament had very specific rituals that they had to do daily with wiping off or washing off the old anointing oil and putting on fresh oil, because it will become rancid. And how does that look in our lives to keep that anointing fresh?
So that's that vertical relationship we have with the Lord. And we spend time with him to grow, but not to be so comfortable that it's all about just us getting things. So we do, because he gives to us and pours into us. And part of that pouring in is the anointing, because he gives to us so that we can flow out, so that we can give out. And so keeping it fresh is like a pond. You need fresh water coming in, but you need water going out. Otherwise, you have nothing but something that's stagnant and it has that green scum and algae on top. And so we don't want that. So the more you receive from the Lord, the more you should be giving of the Lord. And that was where anointing is fulfilled. So
but the problem
God
is,
can cover you with his anointing, but
yeah, a lot of times
who could touch it?
A lot of times we give out.
Mm-hmm.
And if we don't get that fill up, we're going to run out of gas. And it is. It's going to just dry up. And you can still do the mechanics of ministry and of your call because you know it well. Some of y'all have been doing this for a long time. And you can do it in your sleep, as the saying goes. Mm-hmm. Like, we can preach in our sleep or we can whatever it is. Yeah.
But the gift has not come into new heights.
Yeah. And without that freshness of anointing, it's just, it gets stale. It gets old. It gets dried out. And we don't want to do that. We want to keep it fresh. So definitely God is your source. He's my source for anointing. It comes from the Spirit of God and spending that time with him.
For pastors or ministers preaching the word, let's just start there. you can apply this to any ministry within the church and in the marketplace, whatever. How about, how many years have you been doing what you're doing? How about the next Sunday you go to church, you prepare yourself ahead of time to do something different. Do it, do the way you do it different. Not the service, but the way you operate, the way you flow. Get out of your comfort zone. Push it to the next level, because that'll prepare you for an increase in anointing. Otherwise, you're just going to keep reusing that oil. And you know what? You could have a whole bunch of smiley faces out there, but they've heard it 100 million times and just looking at you, and they're hungering for something fresh. And that is the anointing that you carry on your life. So I'm just using the church model as an example, because a lot of people can relate to that. So
definitely, no flies.
No flies.
Keep it fresh.
Keep it fresh.
Number three, let it be fragrant. That fragrance comes. You know, you can have a bottle of perfume. It could be the most expensive, best-smelling perfume. But as long as that cap is on there, no fragrance is released. It's just encapsulated in that bottle. And so it's the fragrance, that expression of our call, and letting the anointing flow out through on top of our call, like coupled together with the mechanics of our ministry and our call, that it smells good. That's that life-giving fragrance that I talked about in the first verse I read.
Awesome. And the verse that comes to my mind, I don't know about you guys out there, it's John 12:3. And it was this: when Mary then took a pound of very costly perfume of pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled. Here you go. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. And then Judas Iscariot got all mad. Well, the religious always get mad when the anointing flows. But
yeah, remember, there's going to be those who, it's this, the fragrance of death and gloom to them, as I read at the beginning, because they don't want to receive the word that you are flowing out, or the expression of the anointing of God.
So the anointing for fragrant is the expression. Okay, so to keep it fresh is vertical with the Lord, but the keep a fragrance to fill the house, I love that. I love that line, is so horizontal. It's coming out of you. It's the expression of that. It's a release of the anointing. That's what gives off the odor in the spirit. And we're using this figuratively, right? Though sometimes you can smell the presence of God very strongly when that anointing is there. But it just something, whoa, this just turned. Everything turned in that conversation. Everything turned in the way that worked out, on how that happened. That approach, that thing, when that was spoken, it just opened the doors of heaven, or whatever experience that you had, right?
It's true, because if you think about it, like, that's pretty powerful to have the ability. But again, it's not you. It's the anointing.
The anointing.
On top of your call and your ministry, that when you come into a place and operate in what God has called you to, that it releases this type of fragrance. Because if you think about it, you know, when you go into certain smells move different people, because our sense of smell is so
linked with
memories. Different things in our brain. Well, with memories, and but memories. Also with our choices that we make. For example, for me, I'll tell you one of my really like smells that draws me in is like in a spa. Spa smells like lavender and different relaxing and soothing scents, because when I smell that, it's like, oh, I want to come in here. I remember being on a cruise recently, and I was walking by the spa, and as I was walking by, it's like I turned and I veered right in there because it's the smell drew me in. And
oh,
that's
good analogy.
That's how we need to be and understand that the anointing that's on my life, when it's released, if it's fresh, not rancid, if it doesn't have any flies in it, so it's not tainted, but if it has that fragrant scent of heaven emanating from my life, it's going to draw people in, and they're going to receive the word that's coming out of me, or the ministry, the call that I'm operating in.
Good stuff. So here's a apostolic truth from the apostles. Truth, okay? That an old anointing will not be adequate to help you build and establish in new territory.
Ooh.
You want to do something new? You're going to touch a new people, new region, new media, new outreach? You want new results than what you're getting every Sunday, every week? New results at work? You want those things? you're going to need a new anointing. It doesn't mean that God removes all the old anointing. What I'm talking about is brings that freshness, but not just refreshing. It also increases. So that new anointing, it increases. Your capacity to be anointed has to be, that anointing has to be in relation to the growth that's happening in your life.
It's like it supernaturally energizes you for this new task at hand.
God can't anoint laziness. He has to anoint our willingness to become that clay in the potter's hand, that willingness to be useful in the kingdom, that willingness to lay down our life and to decrease so that he can increase. And that is what produces the anointing. As far as increasing it, multiplying it. Again, real quick before we let them go, we jump back to the oil by the widow in the during the famine. As many jars as she had, that oil continued to grow in the capacity. It limited and stopped filling up when she ran out of jars. If she had more jars that the boys collected, it would have kept on going. They just ran out.
So what is our capacity today?
Are we
enlarging our capacity to receive more anointing? So you've heard it here today, my friends. Make sure you smell good.
Awesome, awesome. So much. Hey, live beyond, guys, and just stay in touch with us, and we will talk to you soon. Be blessed.